Yes, sir.
I called you because the demonstrations are still continuing down Selma, despite that court order that we got yesterday. And about 400 school kids were arrested just a little while ago for singing in front of the courthouse down there. And John Doerr is down there trying to work things out. Maybe he'll be successful. King's going to get out of jail, I think, later this afternoon. Doerr will speak to him. He may be more reasonable. They've gotten about everything they wanted, but they're still demonstrating. They've got these kids so whooped up there, you know, that they don't, I suppose, want to lose the momentum. Or they've lost their own judgment about it. But King may be better. Maybe they'll calm down.
Well, I think it that we ought to give a chance for the order to operate.
Yes.
And we ought to be fair and reserved about it, and he ought to be told that. And I think that he ought to be told that here's what I said yesterday.
Yes.
And that's about as strong as a man can say it. And he must not ignore this kind of talk and these kind of statements, and he must help achieve them. And the best way to help achieve them now is give us a chance. And we've been in one court and we'll be in others. And this is what he asked for, and this is what he's got. And we expect some quid pro quos.
Right. Well, that's what John will
tell him.
John will tell him, Mr. President. He's also, there's 15 congressmen down there now.
That's a...
This may turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Doerr is going to meet with them and try to get them to say a similar thing. That might help.
Right.
Because these are all, you know, way on the liberal side. And at least it's worth it.
Yeah.
Worth the effort. And might even help. Both I and Ramsey are going down to New Orleans for the meeting of the Bar Association. Be back tomorrow, Mr. President. I'll be in touch with this on the phone, and only be a couple of hours that I'll be unavailable on the plane.
What about Don, have you got anything brewing on your Fifth Circuit, either in Texas or Mississippi?
Not really, Mr. President.
I'm prepared to move with Conley on condition we get any one of the three or four. I would prefer Singleton, and I really have a commitment to him. And second, I think it ought to be shoved and get a definite no if you have, because I have a definite obligation. And I think Jaworski had a little personal feeling because he was in his firm, and he didn't get him clean on ABA, and I'm not as subservient to the bar as some people. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't give a damn what they think much. But and I've seen Leon play it pretty political through the years. And if you're all right with Leon, you're all right. If you ain't, you ain't. And he says, though, that he will reverse himself on Singleton and gives clearance. Singleton has been friendly with Yarbrough and has supported Yarbrough. I don't believe Yarbrough will clear him. If he will, I will not force him down his throat. I think you ought to make a careful study of the precedents on what the president's done in his home state, the first 35 of them. And I think you'll find that the president has appointed his own people in his own state. That doesn't mean he has to be officious. That doesn't mean he appoints obnoxious people. But it does mean he doesn't yield the right, as Pearson says, and all this crap. So I want to appoint number one, Mr. Singleton, if Connolly goes up. Number two, I'd like to appoint Cecil Burney. He's been president of the bar, and he's able, and he's competent, and he hasn't been disloyal to Yarbrough, and he's always voted the Democratic ticket, although on occasion, too, in some of Yarbrough's heated primaries where he's lost five or six, he can't find God himself didn't vote for him in all of them, and he may not have voted for him, although I'm not positive he didn't fight him and didn't hurt him. That's number two, Cecil Burney. If he failed in that, we could go to a Crooker position. Number three, Johnny Crooker. He was manager of both of them's campaign. If he doesn't want to go to that, We'll just leave Connolly there. He's got a heart condition anyway. We don't need to accentuate it.
Connolly, Mr. President, just wrote Senator Yarborough saying he didn't want to be considered for the Fifth Circuit.
Why?
I think he wrote that because the press has been talking to him and he wants to get out. He doesn't want to, you know, be a rejected candidate.
All right.
I think that's the reason.
Then I would think the next best person would be Homer Thornberry.
All right.
And he'll go with us on civil rights all the way, all the time.
Yeah.
And he'll do it in a judicious manner and an easy manner. And he can work with Judge Smith like he can work with Everett Dirksen, who was extremely complimentary of you yesterday. Very proud you've been named. So that doesn't mean you have the same convictions. I just mean that you're both decent. And they know how to talk turkey. So I would name Thornberry, and my first choice would be Judge Jack Roberts.
Roberts.
He's district judge in the Austin district, and been there for many years. And I'd make him number one, and he won't want that. He'll want one of his own. He's not going to get one of his own. I'll guarantee he'll be loyal to him. I'll guarantee he'll support him. And I'll guarantee he will not be officious to him. But I don't see that. If he didn't want that, I would recommend Mr. Donald Thomas. I don't know whether he'd take it, but he's with the law firm of Looney and Clark, and he's one of the top trial lawyers in the state. And he's represented us, and he's been my personal confidant for years. He's been the governor's, so on and so forth, and he'd make a good, fair judge. I doubt that he would consider being a judge, but I'd throw him up to Yarborough and say, Ramsey does from associations. These are some of the folks that we would consider. Yeah. Now, if we're not going to do that, I'll just reach out and get me somebody that's a good, outstanding judge in Texas and make him where there won't be any vacancy, and we'll just name him the Fifth Circuit. These circuit judgeships, though, and these district judgeships are not the personal property of a senator. They would be named by the president. But he does not understand that. And somebody's going to have to stand up and just tell him cold that's true, and then you're going to have to look at him and tell him what President Roosevelt did. President Roosevelt named Whit Davidson, who's the son of a bitch in Texas, and who's been mad at all of us, tried to put me in penitentiary because he got mad to AAA for not giving him all the cotton allotment he wanted. And he's been against us everything. He's 80-odd years old down there. But he was a Roosevelt man before the nomination, Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just told Tom Connolly and Maurice Shepard to go straight to hell in Texas, said this man's not obnoxious. And he's a very weak lawyer and lived in a little town. But he was a Roosevelt man, and he named him. And I helped Yarborough get elected, but I'm not going to let Yarborough just take the appointed power away from me. I will not appoint anybody that hates him or that will run him down. But you and Ramsey have got to let him know that is the prerogative of the president.
All right, Mr. President, we'll do that.
And then Ramsey's got to get some suggestions. He leans a little bit too strong on merit all the time, but he's got to get some strong person that be a good Fifth Circuit judge down there, and I guess he must not come off the federal bench if that's true. Now, I'm just catching unshirted hell, and we may have to run. I don't know what the former Attorney General is going to do on your Rosenberg in New York.
I haven't believed he'll recommend him.
I've just got every single one of them. What will he be obnoxious to? They've got deals up there that you never saw.
Can imagine just from what I see in the paper.
They're taking it all out of my hide, and I don't know that I'm winning any friends by trying to be decent. I don't see any indications that anybody loves me or what I'm doing. But I've been holding this line, and I may have to give, and I don't want to take on every Jew in New York. And if you've been seeing who's been coming in here, I might near have to.
Yeah.
And Alex Rose is lowering his boom, and David Dupinsky is lowering his boom. I haven't talked to Wagner about it, and Weisel hadn't pressured me on it. But then when you start right down with them, you just look at the organization, and you look at the clubs, and you look at the president's clubs and his friends, and every damn one of them say, we want Rosenberg or else. And it's a hell of a lot easier to arm Jordan than it is to turn down Rosenberg. So That ought to be the solution, but I don't want to be obnoxious to anybody, and I just told them I would not, period. Under no circumstances, but there's nobody else doing it. That's my hide. And so I'm going to get, my old back's going to get sore, and
yeah.
If there's possibility that he will,
well, I,
all right, if
I,
he's not, he ought to say so with loud and clear that he will not allow him to be confirmed, and that'll end it, because I've told him up to now that I can't take it.
I'll speak to him. I'm sure he's told them that he would not recommend him.
Well, I just want to know what he does. His name gets there. I want him to know that every Jew in New York that's got any pressure and power with me, except Weisel, demanding, I told him that I would not do it, period. And they're moving in on me.
All right.
And they're coming down, and they're marching. And they're not talking in temperate terms. And I know what the Liberal Party is, and I know some of these other things up there, and I don't want them to brand me as the big reactionary of the country. You see what I'm trying to do? If he won't be obnoxious to him, well, we'll just send his name so damn fast you ever saw, and we'll make an exception on the ground. He's waited 8 years. He's been promised by the leaders that he would get the judgeship, and we won't appoint any more over 64. But we'll end that one. And if he is obnoxious to him, why, all he got to do is say so, and he will not be confirmed, and that'll end it, period. But I'm rather inclined to think it'd be the interest of both of us to go on and name him, get him out of the way, and of course it's going to be on our lap, and the whole question's going to be on our lap for the rest of 4 years if we don't. And anyway, you look at it and let me know, and don't quote me, and just speak on your own, but just say, here's the evaluation, and here's what the rumors are, and here's what you hear from the staff over here, and here's who's coming in, and here's what they're saying.
I can tell them all those.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And tell them they're not coming, they're thundering.
Yeah.
And they're demanding personal meeting with the president. And up to this point, he just said that he wouldn't recommend anybody, and he asked them to please name Sarah Hughes, and they said they wouldn't do it. Byron Rogers told me he would not do it. Kennedy told me he would not do it. And President Kennedy told me he'd support him. So I went to her and told her that it wouldn't. And then by God, Sam Rayburn got her named. I don't want that same thing to happen to me here.
Yeah. I think that
burnt child reds a fire.
My recollection on that, on Judge Hughes, was that at that time President Kennedy knew of the illness that Mr. Rayburn had.
Maybe.
I think that's the reason for it.
Well, the deal that I understood that Rayburn told me was, he told Bobby, said, boy, you don't pee a drop here unless your name's Sarah Hughes.
Well, he may well have.
You don't get a bill in here. And Bobby was in that afternoon, and that evening he told the Dallas News that she would be named.
I think it was, I think the real reason, which at that time Mr. Rayburn didn't know, was that President Kennedy knew
Well, I wanted her, and she was my manager, and I had the obligation to her. But Bobby then just razzed the hell out of me at every White House dinner and said, well, I was a poor flusher. I came down and recommended her, but when he's named, I didn't want her. Well, I wanted her if I could have had anything to do with naming her, but when I turned her down and she got mad at me, and I went out and got the district attorney, and we got him ready to name, and then he went back, and all of them did what they'd promised me and assured me that couldn't be done. Then it left me hanging out, and that's what'll happen to me here.
Well,
suppose I get out here and tell Alex, as I have, and David Domenski, as I have, and the rest of them I have, and then something comes along and say, well, I never was confronted with it. I'd be glad to go along. It's all right. I think he's a good man. You see my problem?
I see the problem.
Now, I don't want to fight. I want to get along, and you help us get along. And my solution to it would be to let me take the responsibility and go on and name him and let him just acquiesce and say I couldn't do anything about it. And I'll try to make it up in Massachusetts or someplace where he wants it made up. But if that can't be done, well, I got to know it.
Yeah.
All right.
Mr. President, one final thing. I think where I've been closely in touch with Wilbur Cohen on this education bill and on how to handle the constitutionality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's got it out of the House subcommittee into the report into the committee today without any problems. And keeping in touch with Senator Morse on the Senate side. And I am ready to move, but don't want to move on that in any major way if we can still keep it